Now entering the truth zone, deep into the vortex of the information revolution, with your host, Michael B.
I am your host, Michael B., and this is the Truth Zone on this glorious Friday morning, July 21st, 2017. So yesterday we talked about the Church of Rome, known as the Catholic Church, deep into paganism, the occult, pedophilia, child molestation, many crimes against children and humanity itself. I want to conclude that with an article, and then I'm going to go into Pope Francis himself. There are two clips today. One is very long, 37 minutes, the bulk of the show, but it's a fantastic sermon on Pope Francis and universalism. Also, we're going to talk about the dark side of the Jesuit order, which Pope Francis is the first Jesuit to reach the papacy. And I think hearing his thoughts, or well, I'm going to read you some of his thoughts, and then these two clips on him will definitely have one thinking just exactly who Pope Francis is. And is he the black pope that Joseph Farah, who regularly contributes to WorldNetDaily.com, well, WND.com, predicted that the next pope would be the black pope, would be the Antichrist? And I first laughed it off, like, yeah, okay, whatever. But listening to this man, understanding the dark side of the order that he belongs to, it makes sense. So I'm going to go into that article. It's called The Scarlet Woman by Joe Cruz. Everywhere people are asking the same questions about the modern church. Why does it appear so weak and compromised? Where is the old-time fire and power that marked the church of a generation ago? These are questions which prey on the mind of many Christians as they witness the dwindling influence of religious institutions. Something seems to have gone wrong. Church members spend more time in places of entertainment and amusement than they do in the house of God. There is little firmness of faith and almost no discipline for those who weakly bend to the indulgent lifestyle of the flesh and the world. Where can we find courageous pastors who fear not to call sin by its right name? Paul urged the shepherds of his day to preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Then he made this astounding prediction, and it's funny because I just opened this article today. I gave you the scripture yesterday. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. Yeah, fables like this New Age Eastern pre-Christian pagan nonsense of karma, situational ethics, what else? No right and wrong, fit God into your image, fit him into your lifestyle to justify the decisions you make. Promiscuous sex, abortion, lack of parental guidance, things of those nature. And we can honestly say that the fruits that have been born out of that philosophical tree are rotten to its very foundation. The article continues, these words are being fulfilled before our very eyes. Fables are being taught, doctrinal messages are drying up, and millions are turning from truth to pleasing platitudes. Right. Like, as long as you're a believer, you can do what you want to do and you're saved. Well, Paul does say, in order to be redeemed and to live in the heavenly realm in eternity, to be in the heavenly realm of God, which there are multiple realms, yes, you absolutely do have to believe. If you don't believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins and redeemed us, then how do you figure you're going to be in his abode when you pass on from this life? How do you think you're going to do that? He's not going to know who you are because you don't know who he is. Likewise, if you say that Christ is your Savior, but you're about to go for your third abortion, how can you expect to be absolved when you continue to do what you do without remorse or without correcting yourself? The prodigal son talks about that. The second son wanted his inheritance right away, and he wanted to live his own life, and the father said, okay, here you go. The money dried up rather quickly, and he found himself homeless and penniless. He saw that workers in the field were better off than he was, having a place to sleep and food in their belly in exchange for labor. So the second son decided, you know, I'm going to go back to my father, and I'm not even going to ask for son status. I'm going to ask him, just let me work in the field so I could have a roof over my head and food in my belly. So the father sees the son coming from a distance, runs up, happy to see him back, hug and kiss each other, and the son tells him what he's willing to do to be brought back home, and the father said, nope, we're going to have a big feast for you. You're still my son, and you're forgiven. But you see, the son did not come back and say, Dad, I need more money. I want to go back to the whores. He showed remorse. He saw the error of his ways and was even willing to take on a lesser status just to be back under the care and guidance of his father. See, that is what needs to be done. We need to turn back to Jehovah God through Jesus Christ with humility and a correction. Are we going to be perfect? No. Certainly, though, we must strive. We cannot live as perfect as Jesus Christ, but we should strive to come close as you can. You shoot for the moon, and you hope to be somewhere between the moon and earth. You can't just lie back and say, well, I'm a believer, so I'm good to go. Not exactly. Paul in Revelation talks about a judgment for the living and for the dead. It's talked about. If we're exempt from our sins just because we're a believer, then there's no judgment on the believer. Well, I don't see where it says in Scripture that just because you declare Christ, you're exonerated from everything. The article continues. Any sermon that demands obedience or self-denial is rejected out of hand as legalistic and judgmental. The voice of rebuke is seldom heard, and pointed preaching, which identifies the biblical Antichrist, is looked upon as harsh and unloving. Have we overdrawn the picture? I don't believe any careful observer of the religious scene would contend that we have. Surely Satan is working harder inside the church than he is on the outside, and his plan is to produce the most clever counterfeit of truth that has ever existed. By creating a diabolical parallel system of doctrinal error within the church itself, he has already led millions into a false worship. The nefarious plot was recognized and exposed by the Holy Spirit shortly before the great deceiver began to implement the major elements of his plan in the apostolic church. But before we turn to John's inspired account of the sordid story in the book of Revelation, let us read another prophetic description of the spiritual state of that turbulent period. Paul warned, "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock." Acts 20, verse 29. Again he wrote, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who oppose and exalt himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sit in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." And again, this was, I think, Old King James Version. So just skimming through, I clicked on the word Catholic in the find box. And again, this prophetic scenario is very interesting indeed, since the number 10 designates earthly completeness, just as 7 indicates divine perfection. We could recognize in the prophecy a universal confederacy of earthly governments giving support to the beast for a certain period of time. And I talked about, again, calling the Church of Rome the harlot sitting on top of the great beast, which is Babylon, the symbol for earthly governments. Just as pagan Rome was one of the major political powers passing on its strength to the papal system, we now see at the end times a joining together of all the kings of the earth in support of Catholic aims. John declared that all the world wondered after the beast, Revelation 13:3. So I skip and I do another control find. What churches can be represented by these daughters? And again, they're talking about the many heads and the harlots. Since the mother has been identified as the Catholic Church, we must look for other religious bodies that come forth from Mother Church of Rome and carried with them some of the same confused doctrines of that church. None can escape the conclusion that those daughters of Protestant churches who have inherited many of the empty traditions of their Catholic forebears. Whether we like it or not, we must admit that many of the most popular doctrines of the established Protestant churches are rooted in that quasi-Christian twilight period when the post-apostolic church was overwhelmed by pagan influences. And I explained that yesterday, that the Emperor Constantine and the Bishop of Rome, aka the Pope, brokered a deal to fuse Sol Invictus and Mithraism into the pure form of Christianity at the Council of Nicaea and I always mess up the dates. It's either 313 or around 333 AD or CE for Common Era. And that's why we have, as I said yesterday, we have Christmas Day on December 25th, which is the Feast of Saturnalia, the god of war. We also have Easter. Coloring of eggs and bunny rabbits have nothing to do with the resurrection of Christ. It has everything to do with Babylonian, pagan fertility rituals to the goddess Astarte, or Esther, Isis in Egypt, Queen Semiramis. It's all the same, folks. The church, the Catholic Church hierarchy, changed the day of worship from the seventh day, which we know as Saturday. Again, that day is invoked to Saturn, to the first day, which is Sunday, which is day of the sun god. And I've talked about who the sun god is, Lucifer, the light bearer. Under the claim that God bestowed such power upon them, millions of Protestants continue that altered practice, even though it rests solely upon the illegitimate actions of the apostate Catholic system. No human church leaders, whether bishops, priests, or a pope, have been given any authority to change the great moral law of the universe, the Ten Commandments. Now, it is true, though, that Christ fulfilled the law. Now, he gave us two new commandments, which really encompass the Ten Commandments. Love God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and only that God. There is no other. So that covers like what? 1 through 4, I think. And then love your neighbor as yourself, or love your neighbor as he loves us. Well, I believe that would cover 5 through 10. Because if you obeyed and respected the two commandments that Jesus gave to you, you would, in effect, fulfill the Ten Commandments. So, as we don't say, well, you violated number 5, or you violated number 8 anymore, those two encompass the 10. But again, you see, situational ethics, it's okay, it's no big deal what you've done, you believe you're safe. So in effect, you get to violate those things, but as long as you believe, you're going to be okay. It doesn't work that way. That is not what God, what Jesus, and the apostles said. So we do another control search. Isn't it interesting that the daughters blindly followed the majority practice of the compromised Catholic Church, even though they properly identified her as the Antichrist power of prophecy? How can this be? Why is it so easy to accept something that was such a flagrant violation of a plain command of God? And of course, I shot up and I've lost the rest of it. Okay, well, it doesn't matter. Here's the bottom line. The Church of Rome is infused with paganism. These words strike a very familiar chord. Which city is built on 7 hills? That would be Rome. The old pagan Roman Empire had its center in the city of Rome, which was sprawled across 7 hills by the river Tiber. Even though this mystery beast involves much more than pagan Rome, we have sufficient evidence that Rome was definitely a part of that which gave support to the harlot church system. This leads us to the question, what church received support from the pagan Roman Empire? Only one, of course. That was the Catholic Church, whose papal head also assumed the title Pontifex Maximus as the direct successor of the Roman Caesars. Matter of fact, as I said yesterday, the popes coronated Holy Roman Empires, Holy Roman Emperors for centuries, did they not? So, moving on, we're going to go to this audio clip. Pope Francis forming a one world religion. And this is very interesting how the infusion of paganism and Eastern philosophy is being embraced by this Jesuit pope.
Said in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1, talking about the false prophet and these latter times, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit especially says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving. That word means seducing. It means the illicit spirits of demons, doctrines, lies spoken in hypocrisy, searing people's conscience with a hot iron. We're living in a day and an hour, ladies and gentlemen, where some of the most notable preachers in America are now being quoted as to say that they are evolving in their beliefs concerning homosexuality, lesbianism, same-sex marriage, the doctrines of universalism. Some of the most powerful people of yesteryear and some of the biggest ministries in America are now straddling the fence, blurring the lines of black and white, coming into areas of gray, believing that, after all, we're all sinners and no one has the right to judge. Ladies and gentlemen, that's just absolutely not true according to the Word of God. I don't have the right to judge you until first I take the Word of God and let it judge my heart. But once the Word of God judges my heart, I then can take the Word of God and I can judge the culture. I can judge the lifestyles of individuals. Not judge to condemn, but judge to discern what is truth from error. The Bible said there comes a day in the latter times. Everybody say the last days. How many of you know we're living in the last days? When many will depart, they will abandon, forsake, become apostate from the faith, believing that there are many ways to God and that anyone can get there regardless of their lifestyle. I'm telling you, we're living in a dangerous time where people in the church are set up to be deceived. The Bible said in Revelation chapter 13, verse number 11, there is a second beast that will come on the scene. I personally believe that this beast will come on the scene before the rapture and the seven-year tribulation. This person is the false prophet. He is the second beast of Revelation 13. The first beast is the Antichrist, who will be revealed, I also believe, before the rapture and the seven-year tribulation. The moment that the Antichrist signs a peace treaty between the Palestinian and the Jew, there will be 7 years of tribulation. Somewhere around the signing of that peace treaty, the rapture takes place. But before then, there is a second beast, a world religious leader who pastors the harlot church, who has influence in every nation on the face of the earth. And that beast is coming up out of the earth. He has two horns of influence and authority. Like a lamb, he speaks with gentleness, but the words are those of the dragon, Satan himself. He exercises all authority of the first beast, the Antichrist, in his presence and causes the whole earth to worship him as God. In verse 13, he performs signs, wonders, and miracles. Everybody look at me for a moment. I'm telling you, we're living in an hour and a time where you can't believe everything you see. If you see it, you then better go to the Word of God and you better look in this book and you better hear the message, because there will be people who will preach there are many ways to God and then perform miracles and deceive the masses. That is the ministry of the false prophet. Verse 14 said, he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the Antichrist, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to him who was wounded by the sword and then lived. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image should both speak and cause many who would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. He caused all, both small and great, rich, poor, free, and slave, to receive a mark in their right hand or on their forehead. And that no one would buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. These events are unfolding before our very eyes. In the ancient prophecies of the Catholic Church, there was a bishop named Father MacGregor, Archbishop of Ireland. He was invited to the Vatican by Pope Celestine II in the 12th century. And there he, on his journey, received an open vision from God where he predicted the next 112 popes. He was given prophetic encryptic signs in Latin and predicted their characteristics. And with great accuracy, Father MacGregor, who was later sainted by the Catholic Church and became Saint Malachi, Saint Malachi's prophecies have come to pass with tremendous accuracy. He said that the 112th pope from his time would be the final pope of the church and would actually precipitate the destruction of the church. The Bible said in Revelation chapter 17 that there will come a time at the end of the tribulation when the Antichrist will burn that harlot church with fire and consume her flesh, just as Saint Malachi has prophesied. He prophesied that the 112th pope would be Petrus Romanus. Great Bible students and prophecy teachers Thomas Horn and Chris Putnam have written a book called Petrus Romanus, describing for us how that a pope could fulfill this prophecy. Peter is the name of that pope, and all popes believe they are Peter. Romanus is the key. He must be an Italian. And so we find that Saint Malachi predicted the 112th pope would be an Italian and would precipitate over the end of the church as we know it. Pope Francis, the current pope of the Catholic Church, is the 112th pope, and he is a full-blooded Italian. He was born in Argentina, but to Italian immigrant parents, and so he does qualify to fulfill this prophecy. Now, many people are going to say that I'm predicting that Pope Francis is the false prophet, and that's not what I'm doing. I'm not saying he is, but I'm giving you the evidence, and I'm going to let you make up your mind whether you believe he fits the evidence or not. I want you to know that great Bible teacher and prophecy expert, Dr. Jack Van Impe, he tells us that Pope John Paul II so believed in the prophecy of Saint Malachi that he appointed 185 of the 190 cardinals worldwide, trying to fill the church with conservative theological cardinals. And then we had Pope Benedict XVI, who was the most conservative pope of our lifetime. He believed salvation by grace through faith alone, just like you and just like me. And he, in an unprecedented act, he resigned from the papacy in 2013, February 28, 2013, something that had not been done in over 600 years. The day that Pope Benedict XVI resigned, lightning struck St. Peter's Basilica. And then Pope Benedict was quoted as saying, "Long ago, when I was a cardinal, I realized that the role of the Holy Spirit in the conclave is to prevent us from electing a pope who will completely destroy the church." So we have Pope John Paul II, Pope Benedict XVI, who believe that it very well could be the next pope would destroy the church across the world. What is the evidence that possibly Pope Francis could be the false prophet? He was elected on March the 13th, 2013. He's a full-blooded Italian. He, many people believe, has Jewish DNA. He is the first Jesuit priest, which is very significant to his political beliefs. He is known as the people's pope. He refuses to wear the gold and the brashness of the papacy, and he wears silver and tones down his appearance. He wants to appear to be a common man and be out for and love the disenfranchised and the poor and the hurting. And there's certainly nothing wrong with that. Pope Francis, in order to qualify to be the false prophet, must doctrinally believe the doctrine of universalism. Universalism is sweeping America right now. There's a generation of people from my age and younger who are buying into this idea that everyone's okay.
Yeah, Pope Francis, the hypocrite, wants Western Europe and America to lower its borders, to open its borders rather, and allow all the poor so-called Muslim refugees into our countries. Yet, the Vatican is surrounded by what? 30-foot concrete walls? Who is he letting in? Nobody.
and that Jesus is for everybody, and that it doesn't make any difference what you believe. In the end, everybody's going to go to heaven. That's universalism. Does Pope Francis believe that doctrine? Well, we'll let him answer that question. On May the 22nd, 2013, Pope Francis, in an interview with the Huffington Post, was quoted as saying, "All who do good are redeemed, even atheists." Now, listen to what he just said. If you do good, you're going to go to heaven, even if you're an atheist. That's the doctrine of universalism. He said doing good is a doctrine that promotes and unites all humanity. In other words, he believes that if you do good, even if you don't believe in God, it means that God must live inside of you some way, somehow. On October the 28th, 2014, USA Today wrote an article that said the Pope Francis denies the Genesis account of creation and says it's not true.
In Revelations chapter 20, those that add to Scripture and those that take away or denounce Scripture have dire consequences waiting for them. It didn't say that do-gooders were exempt.
The Pope said, and I quote, "We read about creation in Genesis, and we run the risk of imagining that God was a magician with a magic wand." Now notice this, able to do everything, or a magician, but the Creator who brought everything to life. Listen, he said, many of us believe God can do everything, but what the Pope is saying is that God cannot do everything. And that evolution, he said, in nature is not inconsistent with the notion of creation. Now, which is it? Did God create this or did it evolve? Because my Bible tells me in the beginning, God created the heaven, the earth, the sun, the moon, the stars, the blade of grass, the tree, the human being. He formed man out of the dust. My God created every living thing that is in the world and of the world and in this universe. Ladies and gentlemen, what does that state?
A minor correction there. God created the heavens, plural. Moses wrote about heavens, and so did Paul. There are, not specifically how many, but there are multiple realms within heaven. I think it's fair to say that Jehovah, Jesus Christ, and their loyal angels reside in the highest realm. Would that make sense? And that Satan, who is ruler of these governments, 1 John 5:19, "The world lies in the power of the wicked one." It is safe to say that Satan and his rebel angels reside in the lowest realm of heaven. And again, you know, this is metaphysically, it's the, because, you know, entities are everywhere, right? But to put this in the human picture, Satan would reside in the lowest realm of heaven, right above the earth, which we know that the realms encompass. We know that there's no solidity like here on earth, so we understand that. But Satan would reside in the lowest realm, Jehovah God and Jesus Christ in the highest realm. But it's heavens. God created the heavens, plural.
Concerning evolution versus creation is this: in the beginning nothing was made without him, and all things that were made by him. And that's a direct reference to Jesus. If you believe in evolution, you cannot believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who created this thing that we live in. So, the Pope is a universalist by his own confession. He is saying that he believes in evolution. And then when he went last year to meet with the Turkish President Erdogan, the Pope said to the President of Turkey concerning Muslims, Jews, and Christians that both in provision and practice of the law enjoy the same rights, respect the same duties. Now, Lord, notice this. They then will find it easier to see each other as brothers and sisters who are traveling on the same path. So the Pope said to the Turkish president, Muslims, Jews, and Christians are all on the same path, believing in the same God, going to the same heaven, because we all pray to the same Father. That's a lie from the pit of hell. I want you to hear me and hear me clearly. And this is why now we have guards in this church, and listen, more people are armed in this place than you know about. I just want to go on record to say, you come in here and try to mess with me or anybody, you're going to be hurt. But we have to have guards because of what I'm about to say. Because nobody else, it seems today, will hardly say it, but just a handful of preachers, especially on worldwide television. You do not pray to my God if you're a Muslim. I'm sorry, but your religion was created by a pedophile who enslaved 9-year-old girls and was a rapist of little girls. He was a pedophile, demonized idiot who walked into Mecca and picked out a black rock and called it Allah and said, now we're going to worship Allah. And he said he went to heaven, came back. Let me tell you something. Islam is from the pit of hell and is the doctrine of the Antichrist. And hear me today. I don't care if you are a Republican or a Democrat, red, yellow, black, white, or brown. You need to understand that our enemy in America is radical Islam.
Amen to that. But it's not radical Islam. It's orthodox Islam. These people don't consider themselves radicals. And I've played that clip, and we're not going to have time to play it again, where a Muslim imam is with his congregation. You can call it that. It's what they are, right? When you assemble. And nobody felt that they were radical to throw homosexuals off of buildings, burn and stone women accused of adultery, and killing the infidel. That is not radical. That is not outside their teaching. It is well within their book, their Quran, and they are just simply fulfilling it. It's orthodox. It is fundamental. Murdering and killing people worldwide that do not fully submit to Satan, which is the moon god Sin, Allah, many names, but it's Lucifer himself. If you are not in total submission, you are deserving of death. And I assure you, Muslims who believe in their faith, they're not going to tell you that. Of course not. Because it's unacceptable to us here in the West. Well, it should be. We seem to be allowing it. But killing people is not Christian doctrine, who are different from us. No. This pastor is 100% correct. The enemy of the United States, of the world, of Christians, of all, even fellow Muslims who aren't Muslim enough. And where do we hear this from? We hear this from black America. You ain't black enough. You're an Uncle Tom. It's the same mentality. If these people think you're not Muslim enough, you're an infidel, you deserve to die. That is in their doctrine, and they're fulfilling it. That's fundamentalism, folks. It's not radical.
Islam, and it's time that the leaders of this country stand up and call our enemy who they are, radical Islam. I'm sick of political correctness. I've had it up to here with a president who's got the backbone of a sweet potato vine and doesn't love America enough to call our enemy who it is. Sick of it.
Now, I assume, because I didn't see the date when this was made, I want to assume he's talking about Barack Obama.
People say, Pastor, you're angry. Christians shouldn't be angry. Well, that's what the Bible said. The Bible said, be angry and sin not. So you need to help me on that sin not part. Pray for me.
See, that's the deception. That's the deception by the Antichrist And I said this Wednesday night in Bible class. This is a deception. Oh, you Christians shouldn't get angry. You're supposed to love everybody. You're not supposed to judge. You're just supposed to be all accepting. You know, that's not very Christian of you. Excuse me. Christ called out the Pharisees. He threw out the money changers in the temple. And he smited the fig tree that didn't bear fruit. That was a symbolic reference to we're allowed and we're supposed to call out evil when it's there. We have every right and we have the responsibility to call a spade a spade. Christ didn't walk by that fig tree and say, oh, poor fig tree. It's not bearing fruit. Oh, darn. Let's love it anyway. No, he zapped it. He removed it from the ground. It's the same thing, folks. That's our duty. It is our duty as Christians and Americans to zap and remove what is detrimental to our soil. Even the Founding Fathers said that. Alter or change or abolish the government altogether and form a new one, which personally I don't think is necessary. We just need somehow, some way to get, well, it won't be these present politicians, but it would be great to find people true to the Constitution, get them in there, and restore. We have the infrastructure. We have the Constitution. We have the three branches of government. It just has to be made right. If it's ever possible. I don't know. I can only do my part and research people. I mean, you got to take a chance on their word. We're not mind readers, and you just have to take your best effort, right? But as Christians, we have a right and a duty to call a spade, and to stand up for the cross regardless of persecution. Wherever it comes from, or family, friends, and neighbors, wherever. When Christ went back to his hometown of Nazareth, the apostles said, your brothers and sisters are running up to you. And what did Christ say? He said, no, the ones that believe in me, those are my brothers. Those are my sisters. No one that is against the cross gets a pass. Nobody. We continue.
It's ridiculous. Back to the message. Pope Francis, in early 2013, in one of his first sermons, said he believed evangelical fundamentalists were mentally ill. A lot of people who know me would agree with him. Even there's a backlash in his own religious community. Many Catholics are very dismayed and very disheartened by him. On October the 20th, 2013, Bishop Bernard Fillet, citing the famous prophecies of ancient Fatima, warned in an address in Kansas City, Pope Francis is precipitating the church's decline and could be a herald that the world is entering the age of the Antichrist. Now that is a Catholic bishop. Thank God for a man who has enough courage to stand up and challenge the leaders of his own church. December the 15th, 2013, Pope Francis slams capitalism as a form of greed and embraces Marxism as a means of helping the poor. Malachi Martin, an instructor of the Vatican, resigned the Jesuit movement, Remember, Pope Francis is a Jesuit, the first to be elected pope. Malachi Martin resigned the Jesuit movement because in 1963, they made a secret agreement with Khrushchev of Russia to preach Marxist communism as a means of redistributing the wealth of the earth and helping the poor. Now, you and I have heard the Marxist doctrine come out of the mouth of liberal progressives in America, Republican and Democrat, across all sides of the aisle, that says that the right thing to do is to take away from the wealthy, the upper class, those who've worked hard all their life to get where they are, and give it to people who hadn't got enough backbone to go get a job. I want to tell you something today. I don't mind helping people that can't work. I don't mind helping people that are disabled at all. As a matter of fact, we need to just get on board with Mr. Mike Huckabee and his understanding that, you know, if we do anything to Social Security, then we've lied to the generation who paid into it because that's their money. If you're retired and drawing Social Security, we're not giving you anything. You paid into that. Chances are you'll never live long enough to get back out what you paid in. And you didn't even do it voluntarily. But there's a man standing in front of you today that's up to here with working 5 and 6 months out of the year to pay taxes to take care of people who hadn't got enough wherewithal to go out and get a job and work and make something out of their life. God didn't put you on this.
Now, let me just clarify what he just said. He doesn't just work 5 to 6 months out of the year. What he's saying is that half of his pay, half of his income, goes to taxation. In essence, the average American, if he or she makes enough, basically works for free, if you will, 2.5 out of a 5-day work week. And it's worse than that. In the state of Connecticut alone, if you add up every single tax, if they were to take out 100% taxes up front, you wouldn't see any of your money until August, ladies and gentlemen. That's federal, state, local, the whole route. You wouldn't see a dime until August. And you can look that up.
A handout. He put you on this earth to hand the world up. God wants you to make something out of your life, to be something and to do something, to bring honor and glory to his name. In the United States of America, it's no wonder we can't elect anybody that believes in the word of God, because 80% of the voters in the last election did a check from the government. And they don't even understand that they're enslaved, and they don't even know it. And that's what Marxist communism is. Let's go look at China and Russia and ask, does communism work? Do people get a hand up? Do they become wealthy by living in a communist nation? I don't think so. Vladimir Putin is one of the richest men in the world. And his people are starving to death. And he needs to put a shirt on. Pope Francis believes that the wealth... Well, I'll tell you what, here's a novel idea, Pope Francis. Why don't you take the trillions of dollars the Catholic Church has, and why don't you empty your bank accounts today and go feed the world and clothe the world and help the world, okay? Why don't you do that? Why don't you get rid of all that gold and all that silver you have in all your churches, and why don't you spread that around the world? You see, a Marxist, communist, liberal, progressive loves to transfer the wealth as long as it's not their money. They don't mind spending our money.
See, and that's what's amazing about libtards. I'll be nicer, leftists. They buy in to Al Gore, Leonardo DiCaprio, and others about this global warming nonsense. Oh, we're all going to die if we don't lower our carbon footprint. They fly all over the world just to go to a party. Or an award ceremony. They've got houses all over the world. Where is their conservation? Zero. And just what this man said. Pope Francis talks about spreading the wealth and taking care of the poor. Well, indeed, empty your bank accounts, Mr. Pope. Even half of it. Take half of the Catholic Church's fortune and distribute it to the poor. And yet leftists are brainwashed into believing that they should feel guilty for what little they have. And we should curse successful people and rob from them. But the very true robbers themselves, the legislators, they hoard, keep theirs, and they multiply.
Again, back to the sermon. May 2014, it was announced that Israel would likely become the first cashless society. That means it would all be done electronically. And the Pope in that same month said he believed that every Christian around the world should get the RFID chip implanted. I remind you in Revelation chapter 13, it says he will cause everyone on the earth to receive a mark in their right hand or their forehead. You'll not be able to buy or sell without it. In January 2014, the Pope did something that was necessary if he was to be the false prophet, because the false prophet will do one major thing with religion in the world. One of those horns on his head is religious influence. He must unite all Christians, denominations, evangelicals, Catholics, etc. He must unify them to the place that he can bring Muslims and Jews with them. And Muslims, Jews, and Christians must come together as one before the rapture and before the tribulation, because the Antichrist system is going to be based on a world church influence and an economic influence that is precipitated through the church. So what does Pope Francis do to gather Christians together? He sends a charismatic evangelical pastor who is an Anglican named Tony Palmer to America. Now, Tony Palmer was killed in a motorcycle accident just a few months after this event. But in January 2014, Tony Palmer was welcomed to the stage of one of the largest charismatic gatherings of charismatic pastors in America. I personally have attended that conference, but I was not there that year. He stands, and I'm paraphrasing, but he says, Protestantism is over because the protest between Martin Luther and the Catholic Church was resolved in 1999, and it was. The Catholic Church agreed to say salvation is by grace through faith alone, and they said that because they had a conservative pope. But Tony Palmer said, if there's no protest, there are no Protestants, and that means we're all Catholic, because Catholic just means universal. And as a part of the universal church, we need to fulfill Malachi chapter 4. The hearts of the Father is turned to the Son and the Son's to the Father. And what we've got to do is all come up under the Father. He wasn't talking about the Heavenly Father. He was talking about the Holy Father, Pope Francis. And then Pope Francis was welcomed on video, where he embraced the evangelicals and asked the evangelicals to embrace him. The place stood in applause. And a few hundred people walked out. But by and large, these charismatic pastors stretched their hand to the camera and prayed for the Pope. Well, Pastor, what's wrong with that? I'll tell you what's wrong with that. When a man doesn't believe that the only way to God the Father is through the blood of Jesus Christ alone, period, he's not a part of the same family I belong to. It's just that simple. If you believe there are many different ways to God, if you believe there are many different colored paths, okay, if you've bought the New Age Live, Oprah, I got news for you. We're not going to go to the same place. So Pope Francis, after this meeting, gets on a helicopter, flies over to Sirte, Italy, where he meets 200 Pentecostal pastors. There, he repents and apologizes for the church mistreating Pentecostals. They embrace him. They embrace this move. And all of this is based on Ephesians 4. We must all come together in the unity of the Spirit. Oh, we hear a lot of that in America and around the world today. Well, we've got to be in unity. Listen, this country's never been in more disunity because of those people who are promoting unity than ever before. You see, there's one place where we have unity, the blood of Jesus. Because in the blood of Jesus, there is no red, yellow, black, white, or brown. There is no racism in the blood of Jesus. We're all the same family in the blood of Jesus. We look the same. We act the same. We worship the same God. There's where unity is, the blood of Jesus. The answer for America's problem is not in the next presidential election. It's the blood of Jesus. Pope Francis is reported June 24, 2014 by an organization called Before It's News. Pope Francis receives charismatic church leaders from America, some of the biggest names on television. Listen, and I'm not against these guys. I love them. I'm praying that God will open their eyes. But some of the people you watch or see on TV every day got on a plane, flew to the Vatican, and signed a treaty with the Pope, which treaty has also since been signed by Buddhists, pagans, Muslims, Hindus, and every kind of religion on the face of the earth. As a matter of fact, December the 30th, 2014, you can look on YouTube and find all these things. But a major charismatic pastor stood in his church and said, it took a lot of audacity to say this. He said, Pope Leo XIII was the reason for the modern Pentecostal movement. He said, Pope Leo XIII prayed down the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Spirit was poured out then in Azusa Street, Topeka, Kansas. You know what he just did? He just spit in the face of Assemblies of God, Church of God, and all kinds of Pentecostals worldwide. Let me tell you, the Pentecostal movement was poured out by a sovereign act of the Holy Spirit because there were a group of people hungry for God. It happened to a Baptist pastor, William Jethro Walthall, in Arkadelphia, Arkansas, in 1879. It happened in Azusa Street, and it happened in Topeka, Kansas, and it happened on the Tennessee and North Carolina borders, and these great Pentecostal denominations were born, and it wasn't because of a pope who introduced the road and idol worship to the Catholic Church. I know I'm going to get letters. I already have. Emails, ugly. My wife said, did you see that email somebody sent you? That I said, yeah, that's a nice one right there. I'm not opposed to Catholic people. I'm not opposed to the Catholic Church. Most true, good, solid Catholic people that love Jesus are opposed to, they're with me. They're opposed to what I'm preaching about, not what I'm preaching about, but the subject matter of the individuals that are part of it. December 3rd, 2014, Pastor Rick Warren, a Southern Baptist pastor, declared that Pope Francis is the Pope of all Christians worldwide. On November the 18th, the Pope plans to visit the United States September 2015, this year. Now watch this. It just dawned on me this morning. Every major thing that Pope Francis has done to introduce this universalism, he always did it around God's moeds, his appointed days on his calendar. What is the Antichrist? What does the Antichrist do? The Antichrist counterfeits the authentic. So Pope Francis is going to come in September when we celebrate Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, and he's going to bring an idea. He's already said it. He said this coming year is the year of Jubilee. He's going to have his Jubilee while the Holy Ghost has the real Jubilee. And he's going to come to America and introduce it at the same time we celebrate on God's calendar, Yom Kippur, the Feast of Trumpets. Think about that, how it counters and how the enemy always is a counterfeit of the reality. Here's the problem, and I'll just go ahead and say it, and maybe you don't understand. The Catholic Church and its leadership is under the influence of a demonic principality called the Queen of Heaven. The Queen of Heaven birthed its doctrine in 300 and 400 AD. I can take you back in church history and I can show you your Hebrew roots and your Hebrew identity was totally in the church until the councils of Elvira and Nicaea. And at that moment, replacement theology was born. St. Augustine.
Exactly what I've been saying. The council of Nicaea infused Babylonian paganism. Sun god worship of Sol Invictus, the light bearer Lucifer, in with the pure form of Christianity, which indeed had still a lot of Hebrewism in it. When did the apostles meet up and receive the Holy Spirit en masse in the book of Acts? The day of Pentecost. Exactly.
And wrote a book trying to explain away the book of Revelation. The doctrines of preterism and the doctrines of replacement theology were born, and all of the identities of the church were stolen. And now you see this in our church, but the Catholic Church has its version. You see the robes, and they have their version. You see the scripture, and you see the celebrations of feast days, but they've been twisted and perverted. And so you have all of that identity taken away in 300 or 400 AD because it was the Queen of Heaven, a demonic principality, who stole our identity. Why is it important? People say to me all the time, Pastor, why is it important that I really understand these feast days and the true identity of me, of myself as a, because if you don't know who you are and you don't have a clear identity, you can't have the inheritance. The Queen of Heaven has come to steal your identity so she can take the inheritance, and she's done a good job of it because now that church is the wealthiest church in the world. Are y'all tracking with me? Now, let me quickly wrap this up. If Pope Francis is to unify Christianity, Judaism, and Islam, how does that take place? Well, he gets the evangelicals on board, and now he moves to the Middle East. On May the 24th, 2014, he meets with Prime Minister Netanyahu, tells him we need peace in the Middle East. On May the 26th, he prays at the Wailing Wall and places a wreath at Theodore Herzl's tomb, one of the greatest heroes of the Israeli army. He speaks of unification, unity, becoming one. And then on June the 6th, 2014, he said God gave him a dream for peace. On June the 8th, on Pentecost, the celebration of Pentecost, he holds a prayerful summit with Israeli President Shimon Peres and Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas. For the first time in history, at the celebration of the Feast of Pentecost, he prays with an Islamic cleric, Omar Aboud, a Jewish rabbi, Rabbi Skorka, and he himself, and they read from the Quran, the Old Testament, the New Testament. They pray Islamic, Christian, and Jewish prayers. And Theodore Shabbat, the son of Walid Shabbat, who was a radical Islamic terrorist who got saved, Theodore Shabbat said, at that moment, on that day, the Vatican has now become the seat of the Antichrist. On Pentecost, when Islam, Christianity, and Judaism joined, that's what has to happen by the false prophet. So that the Antichrist has a global religious system to operate in. On September the 4th, 2014, retired President Shimon Peres met with Pope Francis and said, Israel is now ready and the world is now ready for a United Nations of Religions. And Israel will welcome it into our nation. So the Pope begins to unfold all of these. November 17 through 20 of 2014, he has a conference featuring pagans, Muslims, and the featured speaker was Southern Baptist pastor Rick Warren. On November 28, 2014, Pope Francis.
All that is in violation of what the Apostle Paul said. What do we have to do with the unbeliever? I'll say again, what do we have to do with the unbeliever? And we're talking about when we worship our Lord, what do we have to do with the unbeliever? Answer, nothing.
In Turkey calls for an end to all form of fundamentalism. On November the 29th, in Istanbul, Turkey, Pope Francis stood for 2 minutes of silent prayer, joined hands with the Grand Mufti of Istanbul, and prayed that God would accept their unification of religions. December the 1st, he declares that Islam is a religion of peace. And then on January 17th, he scolds the Jews who were murdered in France at a kosher deli and says, this is what happens when you make fun of somebody else's religion. On December the 2nd, he unites Hindus, Muslims, Buddhists, and all forms of religions to sign a pact, a covenant agreement for peace. I would also say to you that this year in May, for the first time in history, the Catholic Church declared Palestine a legitimate state in Israel. And he did it as if, yeah, I'll go ahead and say it, as if to give Israel the finger, because he did it on their birthday. On Israel's birthday, the Catholic Church declares Palestine a legitimate state in Israel. Can I tell you something? My Bible says that Jerusalem is the undivided capital of God's holy city and the land of God, that the promised land is God's land. And I'm telling you, anybody that's ever tried to take that land away from them, great judgment came. And then in June, while our brothers and sisters are having their heads cut off and their blood is running on the beaches of the Middle East, instead of getting up and preaching a message against radical Islam, Pope Francis gets up and preaches a message and writes a message on global warming and how selfish all of us are because we are adding to the emissions in the atmosphere that's causing the earth to warm, which is an absolute lie from the pit of hell. You know there's no such thing as global warming. Every legitimate scientist on earth will tell you global warming is a lie. And honestly, it was created to make Al Gore a billionaire, and it did a good job. He's going to get up and, can I just go ahead and just, can I say one thing that's just logical? This is just logical. You don't have to know anything to know this. If the United States of America and Canada said, okay, we'll do away with every emission that pollutes the atmosphere, period. We'll ride bicycles and walk everywhere we go. We'll do away with all of our industry, all of our play. We'll absolutely, hey, if a cow flatulates, we'll shoot it. You think you're laughing, but that, I'm telling you, these global warming experts say that that's what's causing the atmosphere to warm. If America and Canada cease to exist, China and India emit enough gas into the atmosphere to kill us all. And they're not going to stop.
I told you that. I told you that 2 weeks ago. The Environmental Performance Index, EPI, ranks all of the countries of the world. If global warming was indeed a global threat, why then would the United States government send our coal industry to China, who was ranked in the 130s? Why would we send our technology, our technical jobs, to India, who was ranked 155? Meanwhile, the United States of America is in the top 35. Now, how does that make sense? Is this a United States warming issue, or is this a global warming issue? See, the libtard won't be able to answer that. He'll just say, you're a stupid idiot. That's it. Because their intellectual arsenal is full of blanks. Environmental Performance Index. Look it up.
Have you not figured out that there is a very specific designed attack on the United States of America and Israel? And now it's being led by the Pope.
Israel, and I'm talking about the ancient kingdom of Israel under Solomon and the United States of America, the only two nations on this earth that was, what's the word I'm looking at, consecrated by its first king. Now, I know we talk about Saul and David, but no. Under King Solomon was all 12 tribes united. If you read the Bible, you read Kings very carefully, it talks about Solomon unifying all of Israel as king. Consecrated Israel to Jehovah. He did not ask for riches. He didn't ask anything for himself, but wisdom to lead God's people. George Washington, the first president of the United States. The capital was New York City. Went into St. Paul's Church and consecrated the United States of America to God and Jesus Christ. It is no coincidence that these two nations are under heavy attack from the whore of Babylon.
And radical Islam. And even those within our own government who won't even call our enemies what they are. If radical Islam is not our enemy, I have a novel idea. Then why doesn't those in our government who thinks that Islam is peaceful get on a plane and go land in Syria today and sit down at a table and have dinner with ISIS tonight?
Now, it looks like John McCain sure did.
You and I are being treated like we have the IQ of a gnat by our government, because they really believe that we're too stupid to know the difference. Well, I was born at night, but it wasn't last night. And I'm here to tell you something. I'm not going to shut up, and I'm not going to sit down, and I'm not going to be quiet, and I'm not going to let up or stop. Now, in closing, I remind you of what Catholic bishops and Catholic leaders have said concerning the last pope. St. Francis of Assisi said that in the last days, Jesus Christ will send the church not a true pastor, but a destroyer. Bishop Sheen of the early 20th century was one of the first preachers on television. He was a Catholic bishop, a very conservative man. And Bishop Sheen preached a message and wrote a prophecy where he said the false prophet will have a religion without a cross, without a world to come. He'll have a religion to destroy religions. There will be a counterfeit church. Christ's church will be one, and the false prophet will create the other. He says there will be this sort of a ecumenical, global, world federation of churches, a global association. It will be emptied of all divine content, the mystical body of the Antichrist. The mystical body on earth will have its Judas Iscariot. He will be the false prophet, and Satan will recruit him from among our bishops. So even the Catholic leaders believe the false prophet would be a Catholic pope. St. Malachi's prophecy literally says, in the final persecution of the Holy Roman Church, there will sit Peter the Roman, who will pasture his sheep through many tribulations, and when these things are finished, the city of seven hills, that's Rome, will be destroyed, and the dreadful judge will judge his people. The end. That's the end. That's Revelation 17, when the harlot church is consumed by the Antichrist. The end. But it's not the end. It's not the end. And while some preachers are on TV today and they're scaring God's people into buying generators, storing up food, building bunkers and ammunition, and they're preaching a doctrine of fear. Let me tell you something. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor God's seed begging bread. God has not given me the spirit of fear, but power and love and a sound mind. I'm not running from anything. I'm running toward what God said in the book of Joel will be an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. He'll pour it out on all flesh, and our sons and daughters will prophesy. I'm telling you, in the midst of the darkness, there's a glorious light and a power. Powerful outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Revival, awakening is here. It's coming now in America. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God.
See you Monday, 10 a.m. Central Time. This is Michael B. of The Truth Zone.